all. We are on number 9 this morning, a number that is close to my heart. You'll probably figure that out as we go along. I think I am a 9, and every test I take, no matter how hard I try to get a different number, it just keeps coming up 9. So a few months ago, I just decided, okay, I'll just be a 9. And that's what I guess I am. So we are working our way through the 9 numbers. We're not at the end, though, because we didn't start with 1, we started with 2. And the reason we did that was to keep the centers, the 3 ways of meeting the world together, as you remember. So there's the head way, the heart way, and the gut way. So now we're in the gut way, which is the 8, the 9, and the 1. We did 8 last week, and this coming week, next week, we will finish up with the 1. And then the weekend of Thanksgiving, that Sunday, we will have class, but we will just kind of probably meet in the parlor instead of in here and kind of debrief all the 9 numbers and kind of share with one another what we learned and what difference that all makes for our living. Because it's great, okay, you know your number, or maybe you figured out what your spouse's number is or your children's number, or why you just get frustrated with your boss. But so what? You know, how do we integrate all the numbers? How do we grow in the number that we seem to be dominant in? So those are things we can talk about together. So just briefly, the instinctive body center, the gut, is trying to work on autonomy. The feeling, the heart center, is concerned with attention. And the thinking head center is concerned with security. So we've been through all that, and we've been through that. So here we are today. Type 9, snuffle up a bit, the peacemaker. Can't we all just get along? Also called the fair-minded, the accepting, the unassuming, the calm, the grounded, and the easygoing. Which is not really fully the case, but it's nice to say this. So the peacemaker, on the resourceful side, 9s approach life with acceptance. They're diplomatic. They can allow people and events to unfold in their own way and at their own pace. 9s appear very calm. They seem to be very inclusive, and they want to make the world a more harmonious place. Harmony is a big theme for the 9. On the less resourceful side, 9s can become overly passive, even passive-aggressive, can lose their own point of view and avoid taking a stand on anything. I once worked for a boss who was, I think, a less than redeemed 9, although he was a nice guy, and he always seemed very sweet and pleasant on the outside, which is the 9. But we would, if we had something we want to have happen, and we knew there were others in the organization that wanted it to happen differently, we had figured out that we all needed to vie for who was going to be the last person to talk to him. Because he was going to go along with each person as they entered the room, and the last person that got to talk to him was the one that was going to get their way. So we would all try to be the last person. It was kind of chaotic, to say the least. 9s may put off important activities and get lost in unimportant distractions, and we'll see why as we work through the 9. So at their best, 9s are pleasant and peaceful and generous and patient and diplomatic and open-minded and caring. Isn't it great to be a 9? Well, 9s at their worst are spaced out and forgetful, stubborn and resigned, passive-aggressive, judgmental and unassertive. That too. The core belief of the 9 is I have to forget myself to stay connected. Okay, 9s do not want to have conflict. 9s don't want to rock the boat. So they're going to forget about their own feelings and attach to whatever feelings are in the room that are going to make the peace. It's not okay to be assertive. And I am not important. My feelings are not important. I am not important. The other folks are important. And I survive by being connected with those other folks. The core coping strategy of the 9 is narcotization to avoid conflict. We zone out if we're a 9. We may actually use a narcotic, whether that's an addictive drug of some kind, or food, or video games, or whatever we can do to escape whatever it is that feels disunifying or disharmonious. Our core fear is that we will lose the love of the people we love and be abandoned. And our core desire as a nine is to have inner stability and peace of mind, which is why we nines feel like such peacemakers. The divine gift for the nine is God's peace and oneness. Oneness is a very important concept for the nine, that all things are one. The root sin for the nine is the sloth. And if it works, I have a little video clip from Zootopia of the theme of the sloth, and I'm working on finding some kind of little video clip for every one of the Enneagram numbers, but this one, because I am a nine, when I saw Zootopia, I just said, there it is. So I had to get it, so this is what I already had. Our avoidance is conflict. We want to avoid conflict. Nines do at all costs. And the inner critic says, I must always be peaceful. And so for the nine, if anything unpeaceful starts to percolate in them, they have to cut off from that feeling. And transformational growth for the nine is to be engaged and autonomous, which of course is what this center is seeking. The world of the nine misses a sense of accomplishment in getting things done, because they're not real healthy, like I said before, to get distracted, to do other things, rather than the things that are supposed to be important to them. They miss a sense of self-worth and a sense of accomplishment, the excitement and the growth that can come out of conflict, and a sense of purpose and destiny. Again, the passion and sloth and the defense mechanism, we said, is narcotization. The wounded childhood message is that it is not okay to assert yourself. So the nine somehow grew up and got the message from parents or other significant figures that if they asserted themselves, they would be in trouble. They might lose the love of the person that they needed. And there was probably a lot of conflict around the nine growing up. And so they internalized that conflict and wanted to do anything they could to shield themselves from it and to make it go away. But there was no way to make it go away. And so they got that sense of, I can't assert myself, I can't express myself, I just have to try to make it all go away. The message in their heart that they long to hear is that your presence matters, that what you think matters, that who you are matters, that you make a difference in the world. It's the withdrawn stance, as you can imagine, what the nine does when the nine is feeling upset. Unlike the eight, who might go barging in to assert themselves, the nine is going to withdraw into themselves. God's invitation to the nine is, I invite you to be free from the false belief that you don't matter and believe that your place in the world is crucial to the unfolding of my purposes. I see you. You are noticed. And the passions I have given you are worth pursuing. So you might be a nine if you seem easygoing and affable, but you feel real different than that on the inside. You feel a physical reaction to conflict. Conflict hits you in the gut, right? Because that's where the nines operate, and it's not fun. You might be a nine if you love the outdoors, where there's peace and beauty. You might be a nine if you prevent trouble by keeping your thoughts to yourself. You know, you're not going to be the one in the meeting who's going to be pointing out the drawbacks or lead that to the six, and you'll be quiet. You might be a nine if you think people take life too seriously and get worked up about unimportant things, because she just wants to be at peace, right? You might be a nine if you like simple gatherings, not very big parties. You might be a nine if you find it hard to prioritize, because then you have to assert yourself, right? Then you have to say what matters to you, and that's too scary. So you're not going to prioritize it and go along with whatever's going on at the moment. And that may or may not be good. You might be a nine if you are overly sensitive to criticism. And how do you show that oversensitivism? You withdraw, right? Kind of sulk.
lower yourself.
You might be a 9 if you avoid problems and hope they will stop. I should say themselves. I don't know why that didn't end up red, but it did. Or maybe it did, and I didn't see it. 9s would never dream of complying immediately with boss around. 9s would never dream of calling up a politician and telling them off. Oh, yeah, that'd be a conflict. Might write a letter and then ditch it. Not even send it. Because, you know, they might come back at you, and then what are you going to do? 9s would never dream of announcing early that they're doing something others would disapprove of. You're going to do something you know is going to make everybody mad. You're going to do it at the very last, you're going to tell them at the very last minute when there's no time to talk you out of it or get mad at you. 9s would never dream of telling people they're angry. And why? Oh, no. 9s would never dream of saying, I don't want to talk when a friend needs help. And 9s would never dream of confronting someone in a critical way. So, 9s are those who withdraw when there is conflict. 9s are inclined to go along, to get along. 9s are ruminators who repetitively review an idea or thought. Part of the reason why 9s get nothing done is because they're always thinking about it and ruminating over it and wondering what's going to happen and worrying about what's going to happen and thinking about what's going to happen and how it's going to affect them. So they're thinking about it all the time, and by the time they get around to doing it, the opportunity is long gone. 9s are searching for the oneness of being and peace and harmony of all things. 9s make good listeners and mediators. So the limiting subconscious belief for type 9, we've said most of this. The world won't value my efforts. It's not important. I don't have to even bother making this person seem slothful. My presence or participation in the world is unimportant. Nobody will notice or forget me anyway. Having my own agenda disrupts harmony with others, so I'll keep it to myself. If I get angry, it will disconnect me and isolate me from people. And of course, the core of all three of these numbers, 8, 9, and 1, is rage. Okay, so the 9 is angry. It's just that they disassociate from the anger. And they let it just kind of sit in there. And we all know what feelings like that do when they just sit. Okay, it's a very unhealthy thing to do. So whereas the 8 will assert it, their anger, the 9 will just not even be aware of it. You ask a 9 if they're angry? They're not angry. No, I'm happy. I'm fine. Don't worry about me. And they believe it. They're not pretending. They just are so out of touch with it that they don't even know it's there. A 9 will believe that if they assert themselves, their relationships will be destroyed. And if they want to be loved by other people, they have to forget themselves and just be attentive to what others think. So as with all the numbers, there are levels of health for the 9, the healthiest being the self-possessed person, the receptive person, the supportive peacemaker. On an average level, 9s accommodate and play the role that they think they're supposed to play. They are passively disengaged or resigned and kind of a fatalist. Oh, well, no use trying. Just might as well sit here. Not to jump change. Kind of Eeyore-ish. Eeyore-ish. And at an unhealthy level, they can become neglectful of themselves and what they're supposed to be doing. They can disassociate themselves from themselves and others. And then they self-abandon and do damage to themselves. So healthy 9s are receptive, open to the wishes and well-being of others. They can be bridge builders. They're patient. They tend to push to reach a goal before, and they don't tend to push to reach a goal before it's time. Okay, they let things happen. They let things unfold. They're not in a rush. And that can be good and bad, but if they're healthy, it's a good thing. They can be unpretentious and genuine. With a healthy 9, what you see is what you get. There aren't any underlying manipulative agendas for a healthy 9. A healthy 9 will bring a sense of peace and harmony to a situation and put other people who might have been a little edgy when they walked in at ease. Healthy 9s are self-remembering. They do take into account their own priorities, but they don't become overly focused on it. Healthy 9s are self-determining and take action on important things that have meaning and purpose. Healthy 9s recognize the potential in others and they seek to nurture it. They're receptive, compassionate, calm, and non-judgmental, and they're able to see many and diverse points of view. On the average level, nines go along with others to avoid making a scene. They can be self-effacing and downplay their own value. They remove themselves from being the focus of attention. They don't like to be the one that everybody's noticing. They kind of want to blend into the background, and they believe they do anyway. Average nines accommodate the wishes of others to avoid the potential for emotional discomfort. Nines operate from a habit of not thinking. Okay, they go on autopilot. They go on their gut. They go on autopilot, and they just do what they've always done. And that's when they kind of use that narcotic stupor to zone out. Average nines will stay busy with whatever's right in front of them and fail to do what's really important. So they won't work through their priority list to do what's ever there, and if something else catches their eye, then not the average nine will turn to that and forget what they were doing. So a lot of things never get done, and they kind of move from thing to thing. Average nines can be really stubborn. They can seem to agree. You can get an agreement from a nine, and then when it comes time for the nine to have done what they said they were going to do, they're not doing it. They said yes, but it's not happening. They can have a semi-sweet exterior, but they're well defended. They'll look pleasant and smile a lot, but underneath, they're protecting themselves from you. They can get apathetic. This is the narcotization. Indifferent and numb. They're kind of like missing in action. And they are passive-aggressive. And they get down in that lower level. They tend to neglect their mounting problems, becoming extremely irresponsible, repressed, apathetic, listless, and ineffectual. They defend their story that everything's okay, but they know very well that it's not okay. They placate others to get them off their back. They experience suppressed anger, brewing just below the surface. Now that now they're not there, and it's bubbling. They're really pushing it down. So they might have short bursts of temper and get really mad and yell and even go into a rage, but it's not going to last very long, and they're really going to ruminate about it afterwards and feel really, really bad that they showed that anger. They're resigned, spiritually dead inside, and they just kind of go through life feeling that everything's helpless and everything's never going to change. Like I said, New York. They fantasize about some magical rescuing. They kind of just sit in their room and kind of imagine that, you know, they're going to win the lottery, or Prince Charming is going to come along, or Princess Charming is going to come along, and all their problems are going to be solved. They don't do anything about it, because they're just imagining that it's going to happen magically. They can be very emotional and physically drained from all that work of denial. Because that takes a lot out of you. You're constantly denying and neglecting yourself. So when a nine has to cope with life, they will go along with others' agendas. They will see everybody else's point of view except their own. They will maintain comfortable, predictable routines. They will retreat to the safety of their imagination under stress. They will resist over-influence from the environment. They will be pleasing and harmonizing and accommodating, not because they really want to be, but because that's the way to avoid that conflict which scares them to death. They will be containing their energy and their anger. They will minimize their own hopes and expectations. That way they can't be disappointed. That way nobody can come along and take them away because they didn't have them in the first place. They'll be passive-aggressive rather than directly confronting you. You'll wonder what happened, but it's because they said yes, but didn't have any intention of following through. They'll be undemanding, and they'll disassociate from threatening events. If the event is threatening, they will get out of hand. They won't show up, or they will withdraw emotionally, even if physically present. So what can a nine do to grow? Well, a nine can start a daily practice of previewing at the beginning of the day what they want to get accomplished, what's important to them on this day, and then at the end of the day they can review that and say, how did I do? What did I get done? What didn't I? What did I avoid? Why did I avoid it? And just kind of figure out what maybe was going on. They can use that frustration or the anger they feel when someone has discounted them to remind themselves that what they have to say really does matter. Okay, not to just feel discounted, but to say, okay, they didn't accept what I said, but that doesn't mean what I said wasn't important. It's more about them than it is about me. They need to take a personal position on issues when it's important and voice them and take the risk. Very scary for a nine to voice their opinion. Nines need to notice their feelings that they're blocking when they turn to substitutes like TV or food or, you know, insignificant errands or chores. They'd rather run around shopping than deal with what is right in front of them. That could be a problem for the budget as well as everything else. And they need to notice when they're distracted or obsessive and what those feelings are. What are they avoiding by doing that? And let themselves feel through the situation. Let their feelings come out. They need to avoid belittling themselves and make others more important or more intelligent. They need to decide on goals, and then instead of sitting around ruminating about it, do it. They kind of need that Nike, you know, just do it. I think that would be a good motto for a nine. They need to notice their stubbornness and passive resistance and start to say what they really think. And they need to accept that not all the world is going to be, you know, a beautiful, peaceful, lovely, harmonious place, and nines need to accept that, and that some things can't be changed. Okay, a parable for nine. I don't know if you can read that. But this is the one where Jesus says that the man invited all these guests to his banquet, and the guests all had a ton of excuses why not to go. And so he said, well, then just go out and invite all the people in the street. The nine would see themselves where, do you think? Who are the nines in the story? Could be the people making the excuses. Say more about that. Because why were they making the excuses? Maybe. What might they be looking to avoid?
Any sort of conflict, any sort of something that needs to be asked of them.
Yeah.
You know, okay, so if we're going to a house where you're inviting someone as a host, there's an expectation as a guest. Also, they're avoiding those expectations and the things
good.
That
they
need to
yeah.
It could be people on invited, you know, at later because they don't want to say no, they're not going to show up.
They could, or they, and I like what you said, Bill, because I hadn't thought about that. I thought about the people on the street because those are the no counts, huh? Those are the ones that don't matter. Those are the ones that are discounted most of the time. And since the nine feels themselves to be discounted, they might see themselves as the one on the street, the crippled, the lame, the poor. Look, God invites them too. So the parable is to remind them that they too get invited to the great banquet. So both those, that's why a parable is so rich, because it says so many different things, right? All right, so Jonah didn't want to make waves. You know, I wanted to do what he was told, but then they didn't want it, so he didn't want to do that either. So he got swallowed by the whale, and got to think about it. He made it over for a few days.
He was stuck in the belly of the beast.
Yeah, yeah. Probably Jonah, if he was true nine, would just soon stay there. You know? With no conflict, you know. Might have been just as happy. You know, don't cough me up off the stairs. It's kind of nice.
Living in the
death. Yeah, living in the death. Exactly. So Jesus as a nine showed great tranquility and serenity in his life. He wasn't prone to being offensive most of the time, although he could offend people, but he wasn't offensive. There's a difference. He offered peace, right? When he walks into the upper room, he offers peace. He often prays for peace, and he also prays for oneness. That is the goal of God, that we be one. So then I just have something there, that we're supposed to be one with one another, and that is what Jesus prays for in John's Gospel. We had John the Apostle as being a two, but John also fits a nine. if we think about John, I could have also put him up there as a biblical character that's a nine. He also has those characteristics as well. Spiritual growth for a nine, find what you really believe instead of going along, finish tasks you have started, learn to express anger without losing your cool. For a nine, to express anger means don't fall apart, right? And then, or any emotion, don't fall apart. So, in John, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid." Not the kind of peace that nine can accomplish on their own, but the kind of peace that God offers. And this unknown quote, "I was going to do something today, but I haven't finished doing nothing from yesterday." Perfectly healthy tonight, yes. So the little cat says, "Today I will live in the moment, unless the moment becomes unpleasant, in which case I'll take a nap." That's a nine. And this says, the woman's on the phone talking about her husband. "We're making progress. He set off the motion detector this morning." He moved. So glad my husband's not here. All right, let me see if I can get this. I have no idea whether it'll work or not. Okay, that's as loud as it wants to get. Let me see if I can pause it for a second. And okay, so the story here, if you don't know it, is does anybody know how to make this documentary? Because it's not. So it shouldn't talk to itself?
Ideally.
Yeah, ideally. I think I said as loud as it's going to go. But my. Let me ask you out of here for a sec.
Tuna is kicking in, sorry.
Alright, I've made it as loud as I'm going to be able to make it. So, anyway, the story of this Zootopia is this bunny who believes she can do anything. And, why would you start now? So the story is that this little bunny believes that she can be anything, so she goes to this utopian place called Zootopia, where everybody can be everything, and all the animals get along, right? And there's no animals eating other animals, they all just get along. And she becomes a police officer, but she's only given traffic duty, because the bunny has never been a police officer before, and they don't think she can really do it. So she's finally gotten a chance to chase after these people who have stolen, or to find this missing animal. And she's looking for him. And she has hooked up with this fox, who has his own agendas, to try to... Here we are. You had it.
Yeah, and then it doesn't want to go.
Yeah. Huh. To try to find out who has stolen this otter. Mr. Otto has been stolen. And so she wants to go and find out the car that he was last seen in. And so she goes to the Division of Motor Vehicles, a place noted for being quick. right? We never wait in line at the Division of Motivations. And that's where we pick up the story. On there, but not on there.
I know, but it's not on the plate. Someone
I know.
The,
let me get totally out of the,
okay,
the thing. You must be a Mac person.
I'm a Windows person as well, but nonetheless, it is frustrating as well.
Yeah, they are. All right, let's see if we can make this work again. I'm talking to myself. Pay me no mind up here. Ignore the man behind the curtain. Before it was working perfect.
No, I screwed it up.
I had it perfect. I really did. Okay. That's all on the G page. All right, folks.
What's the best thing about Thanksgiving?
But it's not up there, right?
Now I can hear it coming through the speaker.
Yeah, but you can't see it up there, right? It's got the white screen, so that's not helpful. We just may have to forget about it, but I hate to give it. Well, it's just something you can't describe how this falls up, right? It's just so funny.
Now she's in the hole to me. I don't have to.
Those are my grandchildren.
Oh, there you are.
Last summer. But they're all happy and they all get along. No sibling rivalry.
That's true.
Yes, that's not true.
I'm just saying that would be a miracle.
Like I said, I had it. It was running, and I should have just let it be soft, and you should have just had it here. In the meantime, let me play you the song for thank you.
something is product, the process is product of something else.
Okay, try to listen. Technology. I don't think that's going to work either. It's going to be a perfect day. So, see, my mind is would really kick in here, and I would want to run out. But I'm good. I can handle this conflict I'm having with technology. I really can. All right. So here's a great song for a nine. Where would we be? I'd have no job.
Extended screen mode instead of duplicated screen mode.
That's where we got in trouble the first time. Okay, so they come in and she sees that they're all locked. Okay, you can. Just get the movie and watch it.
What's the name of the
Zootopia.
Zootopia.
Zootopia. It really is hilarious.
Just fine as well.
of family. So he's got the number. Dalai Lama, you know, of course, Mahatma Gandhi, Julie Child, I don't know that well, but she shows up on every list. Queen Elizabeth. I don't know if you've ever watched on Netflix, but there's a whole show called The Crown.
Yeah.
It's a history, and it's very interesting. I don't know how historically accurate it is. I've read some articles that say it's not. Some say it is. It just depends, I guess, on how you feel about the Queen and Sandra Bullock.
So, I don't really know very much.
I don't know much about her either, but again, she shows up as a nine. And Winnie.
Yeah. That's
classic. Although, when you're not happy, you might be in New York, but Winnie the Pooh is definitely the peacemaker, so let's get along. So that's the nine. Anybody want to admit to being a nine like I did? A nine, yeah. It's a good number. I'll embrace it. I fought it for years, but I'll embrace it. I wanted to be a four. I don't know why, but I wanted to be a four. But I'm not a four. You can't make it come out that way. Live my life. So. All right, next week is the one. And we'll be finishing.